The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
We are going to talk today about one of my favorite Christmas movies, A Christmas Story. Love this movie. Love it. Every year we watch it. My wife and I can quote probably 3/4 of the movie. We always know what's next. We just like it. One of the disadvantages to pastoring like we do here at Remnant is that when we do a series like Christmas, or a Tinseltown Christmas, where each one of the pastors gets to choose which one they're going to do, I had to preach a message, the very first message, and I didn't feel like A Christmas Story really fit for the first message. So I had to wait with my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, and my eyes crossed, hoping that Jeremiah and Frank wouldn't use this one. And they didn't, so I go back and forth between whether this is my favorite movie or How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And by the way, I like the Jim Carrey one okay. But you got to have Boris Karloff in the original cartoon Grinch. Obviously, most of you don't agree, but I don't care. Both movies are about Christmas, and this movie is about Christmas, but it's really about more. It's about life. It's about the life that we all live, and that's why we put the tagline, the story of all of us and him. Now, the way you grew up may be different. I didn't grow up in Ohio in snow. I grew up in Southern California. We saw snow on television. But I can relate to a lot of the stuff here. And so we're going to kind of go through this movie this morning. And we're going to see what goes on. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for your grace and your mercy. I guess I ought to put my microphone in the right place. God, thanks. Speak to us now, God. Do something great in us today. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. Right in the middle of my prayer, I realized I didn't have the microphone on the right place. No wonder it was... They were struggling back there. Now, how many of you have never seen A Christmas Story? Were you raised in a cave? Well, today's your day. And like I said, it really is the story of all of us. And so let's watch the first clip.
It is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle. And there he is, Red Ryder himself. In his hand was the knurled stock of as coolly deadly-looking a piece of weaponry as ever I had laid.
This whole movie is about Ralphie trying to get that gun. The whole movie. It's about Ralphie and the gun. You ever have something you wanted so badly? Could be a car, could be a girl, or a guy, depending on, hopefully you have that the right way. I threw that in, that was a freebie, it didn't cost you anything. Really, what have you just wanted more than anything else in the whole wide world? For Ralphie, it was that gun. The BB gun with the compass and the stock and this thing which tells time. It's great. And the problem is that we all think that one thing will make our lives complete. Ralphie thought that if he had that BB gun, everything would be perfect from then on. Maybe if I got the Ovaltine decoder ring. You ever send away for a decoder ring or something like that? We did that. I got one at Cracker Jack one time. Thought I was like James Bond's little brother, 003 and a half or something, you know. 003.5. I'd make up secret codes. The problem was none of my friends had the decoder ring. So I would give them this gibberish on the page, and they would say, God, see, what is this? It's secret code. Well, it's so secret nobody else is figuring it out, Sparky, so what am I going to do with it? So we started eating boxes of Cracker Jack, trying to find, and there's no way you're going to do that. In the end, though, things are just things. I've done a lot of funerals. Never seen a Brinks truck fall on the hearse. Never seen a hearse with a luggage rack or a tow hitch. When you die, that's it. Somebody else will get to enjoy your things. Somebody else will get to enjoy the things that you think are so important, but they're not.
Alfie, what would you like for Christmas?
Horrified. I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder Carbine Action 2-inch Airwings Ball Air Rifle.
Ooh. No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out. That deadly phrase uttered many times before by hundreds of mothers was not surmountable by any means known to kiddom. But such was my mania, my desire for a Red Ryder carbine, that I immediately began to rebuild the dike.
I was just kidding. Even though Flick is getting one, I guess I'd just like some Tinker Toys.
I couldn't believe my own ears. Tinker Toys? She never buy it.
BB guns are dangerous. I don't want anybody shooting his eye out.
It was the classic mother BB gun block. Insurmountable to kiddom. I meet a lot of people that have a church block. You invite them to church and like, oh, church, no, no. It's like I ask them to eat like Brussels sprouts or something. Some people, I like Brussels sprouts. Yeah, well, most people don't. But, you know, but think about it. You know, because what are we judging church by? Yeah, well, you went to church when you were a kid and you hated every minute of it. I like that. A guy told me one time, said, well, I don't go to church because my dad made me when I was a kid. I said, you know what? I don't go to the baseball games anymore because my dad made me when I was a kid. You know, make us go to professional baseball games and eat hot dogs and drink soda. Oh, who would want to go through that again? My dad made me go to the movies. We had to go watch, you know, animated movies that we loved. Oh, I don't want to do that again. Sounds kind of silly when you put it the other way around, doesn't it? And you know what? If you find church boring and stuffy, one of two things need to change. You need to change your church, or you need to change you. See, when my wife watches Toddlers and Tiaras, really not all that interested. Every now and then it's funny to laugh at people. But for the most part, yeah, I'm not there. But when we watch something together that we're both like fully engaged in, like football, trust me, she'd watch 100 Toddlers and Tiaras in a foreign language before she'd watch a quarter of football. When I watch a football game, though, I'm fully engaged. I want to see what's going on. Hey, why'd that guy do that? What's going on over there? You know what? Why? Because it's interesting to me. Because my heart's in it. Because I'm there for what I'm going to get out of it. I want to see football. I'll watch two teams I don't like play. I will. Because it's football. I'll watch peewee teams play and critique them. That kid should throw better than that. I know he's only 8 years old, but come on, put some arm in it. I'm fully engaged. When you come here, well, look, we'd love for you to be here, but you need to be fully engaged. Because this is how your heart changes. This is how you become the person that God wants you to be. Good stuff. Do you notice in the video how quickly he changed tack, though? I want an official Red Ryder. Oops, I'll just take Tinker Toys. He doesn't want Tinker Toys. Why did he do that? Because he felt like he had to hide the true him from the people around him. Can't tell my mom what I really want, because even though he's been laying hints, all through the movie he's laying hints. But we do that, don't we? We see people and we talk to them, and we've got one way of talking when we're at work, and we've got another way of talking when we're at home, and we've got another way of talking when we're at church. And what we forget is that we need to be real wherever we are. We need to be the person God made us wherever we are. Now look, does that mean you don't have rough edges?
I got plenty of them.
And I have felt God's sandpaper taking off my rough edges. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's using a grinder a lot of the time. I think I've seen sparks fly. But that's what makes us better. If you find yourself that you're hiding who you really are when you're around other people, that's on you, not them. Oh, well, I have to be that way to get ahead in life. No, you don't. That's what you've decided you need to be. Hopefully, wherever you see me, I'm who I am. Warts and all. Because there's a freedom. And that's when you find out who you are in Christ, that you are God's most treasured possession, the Bible calls us. I want you to think about that for a minute. The Bible says that you, not like the corporate us, well, we all are. No, you are God's most treasured possession. In fact, say that. We say, I, Jerry Godsey, well, whatever your name is. I, state your name, am God's most treasured possession. That's hard to believe, isn't it? In fact, it's hard for us to say it. But the Bible says it's true. If we could just grasp that, how different would our lives be? If we could just understand that God loves us so much, how different would we be? When I think of Christmas, I think of God sending his son to earth to make me his most treasured possession. That's better than any BB gun.
Mothers know nothing about creeping marauders burrowing through the snow toward the kitchen, where only you and you alone stand between your tiny, huddled family and insensate evil.
As long as I got old Blue. Well, what have we got here, folks?
Well, we figure it's Black Bart, Ralph.
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. Lucky I got a compass in the stock. Well, I think I better have a look here.
Oh, he's not.
I like the outfit. That's like Liberace meets Old West. So what do we do if we can't be honest with who we are? What if we do if we live every day acting like we're someone else? We build up these elaborate fantasies, don't we? We build up this idea of who we're going to be, and, oh, if I could just have this, then I would be that. And if I could, I wake up every morning, oh, if I just had hair, how different would my life be? I had hair and lost it, so. And I'll let you in on a secret. Hair is waste material that your body's getting rid of. So you're spending all this time and money on, dead stuff. So, hey, knock yourself out. God made a few perfect heads. The rest he covered with hair. I got a million of them. I'll just quit. Okay. You ever catch yourself doing that, though? You build up this whole idea that somehow, if I just had this job or this thing or this, that my life would be complete. And then you look around and it's not. They told me this morning that another ex-pro ball player committed suicide. I didn't get the name of who it was. It committed suicide. Somebody would think that had everything. And I remember Deion Sanders talking about it. As Deion Sanders had won the Super Bowl and had done some incredible things and was playing both Major League Baseball and the NFL. I mean, an amazing thing. Only player ever to play in a Super Bowl and a World Series. And he said, the world told me I had everything. But inside, I had nothing. His exact words, I was empty. See, because none of this stuff fills you up. Think about the things you're chasing in your life right now. That next promotion, that next this, that next that, that next possession. Is it really going to make you happy? Is it really going to fulfill your life? Look, and I'm not against possessions. I'm not against trying to get ahead and trying to do things. I'm just saying that if you think that's going to make you complete, you're fighting Black Bart wearing a sequined hat. Because there's more to life than the stuff we have around us. There's more to life than just chasing after the wind. One day, when I have fill in the blank, then my life will be complete. Then I will matter. But if you're God's most treasured possession, don't you matter now? If God loves you so much that he sent his own son to die for you, don't you matter now? If you're here this morning and you think that your life is incomplete, it's because you don't fully understand how much God loves you. If you're here this morning and you think that you have to keep chasing after all of these things to make your life better, you don't understand. You have everything you need right now. You may not have everything you want, but you got everything you need. That's how much God loves you. Having stuff is not going to make you any better, any smarter, any more complete. It'll just mean you have more stuff when you die. Let's go to the next one. I love this part.
You're full of beans and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare you.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare ya!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right. Come on,
Karen. Spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is nuts.
Just looks so painful. Here's the thing. if we're spending our whole life chasing after things and chasing after popularity, eventually we're going to listen to friends who dare us to do stupid things. And I'd love to tell you that every stupid thing I've ever done was because somebody dared me, but that wouldn't be true because I can find stupid things to do all by myself. I don't need to. You know, sometimes we do things we know we shouldn't because somebody dared us or because we're trying to be important or we're trying to be something we're not. And we end up with our tongue stuck to a pole. And by the way, if you think your friends are going to help you, no, the bell rang. What were they going to do? I don't know, but the bell rang. When it comes down to it, they're going to save their own hides, aren't they? When it comes down to it, your friends will watch you crawl into a hole and then leave you there if the bell rings. Well, yeah, but we see it all the time. Joanne and I work in law enforcement. We see it all the time. You see one thief turning on another thief just to get his own skin out of trouble. Actually, we count on that. The old saying is, there's no honor among thieves. It's true. Oh, every now and then you'll get some guy, I ain't no snitch. Snitches get stitches. All right, whatever. Enjoy jail, because that's where you're headed. See how you like it. You know, the Bible talks about this. Look at this verse. Proverbs 18:24, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. True friend sticks by you like family. When the bell rings, they don't leave you there with your tongue stuck to the pole. Doesn't that look like that hurt? Holy guacamole. If you think your friends are the answer, you think the popularity or the people around you are the answer, you're headed for another letdown.
Weeks of drinking gallons of Ovaltine in order to get the Ovaltine inner seal to send off for my little orphan Annie's secret decoder pin was about to pay off.
I got it. Master Ralph Parker, my decoder pin! All right!
Now it's time for Annie's secret message for you members of the Secret Circle. Remember, kids, only members of Annie's Secret Circle can decode Annie's secret message. Remember, Annie is depending on you. Set your pins to be 2. Here is the message. 12, 11,
I am 2, in my first 8, secret meeting.
14, 11, 18, 16.
Oh, Pierre was in great voice tonight. 12, I could tell that tonight's message was really important.
3, 25. That's a message from Annie herself. Remember, don't tell anyone.
Seconds later, I'm in the only room in the house where a boy of 9 could sit in privacy and decode. Aha, B. I went to the next. E. The first word is B. S. It was coming easier now. U. 25.
Come on,
that's
R. Bro, see, I gotta go.
I'll be right there, Ma.
Gee whiz.
T. O. Be sure to. Be sure to what? What was little orphan Annie trying to say? Be sure to what?
Annie has got to go. Will you please come out?
All right, Ma. I'll be right out.
I was getting closer now. The tension was terrible. What was it? The fate of the planet may hang in the balance.
No, Annie's got to go. I'll be right out. Right out loud.
She's almost there. My fingers flew. My mind was a steel trap. Every pore vibrated. It was almost clear. Yes, 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 yes.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine? A crummy commercial?
I went out to face the world again, wiser.
You ever feel like that?
You finally get that thing you've been holding on for. Oh, I want it. Oh, commercial? You gotta be kidding me. Now, any of you ever sent off for a decoder ring or anything like that? Any of you ever get Sea Monkeys? Oh, when you watch Sea Monkeys on the book, on the back of the comic book, they're jumping and, you know, and back in my day, before litigation, I don't even think lawyers were invented yet, they didn't have the little disclaimer that says, sea monkeys don't actually look like this and they don't do anything. Now it says that. Now if you buy sea monkeys, it'll say, yeah, none of this stuff's real. Sea monkeys aren't even monkeys. Who knew? They're brine shrimp. And they're tiny, you can't see them. They're like, it's like the water has got some kind of film in it. Very disappointing. When I was a kid, my dad told me that babies came from tadpoles. And I was stupid enough to believe him. So we went down, and I had to be good so I could earn my right as a dad. So finally, I had been good long enough. My dad took me down to this pond, and we got little tadpoles. And I was going to be a father. Very excited about it. Very, very excited. I felt like at 6 years old, I was ready for fatherhood. And so we started raising my tadpole, and it was working. They were sprouting legs. I was going to have babies. I don't know what I was going to do with them. I mean, you're 6 years old. You don't exactly have a job. But I was raising babies. And then my brother, Greg, who is the villain in a lot of my stories because, well, Greg's a sociopath. Anyway, Greg's this little, he's like one or two at the time, and he's doing that Frankenstein walk that babies do through the house. And he knocked my jar of babies off the table. And they were laying there dead. And I ran through the house screaming, Greg killed my babies! Greg killed my... We didn't have 911. I would have called 911. But it wasn't invented yet. But Greg killed all my babies. And then eventually my dad told me, well, that's not really where babies come from. And I felt betrayed. And didn't find out where they really come from for a long time after that. So it was... And that was a shock, too. You ever just get let down by things? Crud! Ecclesiastes chapter 1 talks about this. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utter meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labels, their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. This dude is having a bad day. You start walking around saying, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Eat a Dove Bar, move to Florida, get over it. You got to get past this. Drink some hot cocoa. You'll feel better. Then verse 16, I said to myself, look, I've increased in wisdom more than anyone who's ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. It can be so disappointing to get what we've always wanted only to find out that it's not what we really needed. Oh, I've always wanted one of those. For what? I have a little electronic helicopter in my house. I wanted a helicopter. And so I bought one. I've flown it once on a windy day. Come to find out you can't fly a helicopter on a windy day. It doesn't work. I have a friend who's a real helicopter pilot, and I asked him, he said, well, we fly on windy days, but the helicopter's a little bigger, Jerry. Evidently, things don't necessarily scale up and down the way that you think. I wanted that helicopter so much because I thought it'd be cool to have. I've flown it once, and it kept hitting my fence. Eventually, on a calm day, I'll remember I have a helicopter and go out and fly it. When it's calm, I don't remember. When it's windy, I think, oh, I've got a helicopter. Let's go. Oh, I can't. It's a windy day. Didn't need a helicopter, wanted one, still can't fly it. And I guarantee you, once it's a calm day and I fly it, I'm still going to hit the fence because the fact that I'm not a good pilot doesn't have anything to do with wind. Just the fact that I'm not a good pilot. By the way, have I ever asked you if you want to go fly somewhere with me? The answer is no.
get that dirty mug. Bling, bling, bang, bang. There we go. And...
Oh, for one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one, the queen mother of dirty words, the F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said. In the car. Go on.
It was all over. I was dead. What would it be? The guillotine, hanging, the chair, the rack, the Chinese water torture. Mere child's play compared to what surely awaited me. Over the years, I got to be quite a connoisseur of soap. My personal preference is for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice, piquant after-dinner flavor. Heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness. Lifebuoy, on the other hand... There has never been a kid who didn't believe, vaguely but insistently, that he would be stricken blind before he reached 21, and then they'd be sorry.
Why, it's Ralph!
Come on in, Ralph. Where you been? What is it, Ralph? What happened?
Why, he's blind!
Blind? Oh, my God!
Ralph, is it something we did?
What brought you to this lowly stage?
Ralph, please tell us, no matter how it hurts, what did we do?
No, I can't.
Oh, please, Ralph, I must know what we did. What brought you to this?
Please.
Please?
It was?
Yes. Yes.
Soap poisoning.
How can we do it?
Well, I'll manage to get along. Somehow.
I'll never forgive myself.
Thanks, Mom.
I told you not to use life, boy. Oh, I feel awful.
Isn't it true, though? Our mouth gets us in trouble, and then all of a sudden, we try to find ways to make other people pay the price. Okay, obviously you don't ever do that, because you're obviously much more liars. Anyway, you ever do that, though? Your mouth gets you in trouble because you're so used to like being part of everything, and then oh fudge. We need to own up to who we are and what we've done. We need to own up with the fact that, like the Bible says, we are all sinners. We've all gone astray. That's why we have Christmas. And then we go through so much. And then it snaps.
Hey, Christ, how'd you like a snowball sandwich? Maybe you'd like another one.
Listen, jerk, when I tell you to come, you better come.
What, are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby, cry for me. Come on, cry.
Deep in the recesses of my brain, a tiny red-hot little flame began to grow. A fuse blew, and I had gone out of my skull.
Now, two things to take away from this. First of all, if you're going to tell me that the reason you have to sin is because the devil made you do it, that doesn't make sense. The Bible says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have power. All we have to do is stand up and he'll run. Second thing you take away from this is that we do this sometimes, don't we? We make mistakes, we get caught, it all builds up, and then we do the wrong thing, the wrong way, and we cause bloodshed. We do it in our homes, we do it in our relationships, we do it in the people around us, we strike out at them when we're frustrated, we do it because we know we shouldn't, but we do it anyway. Jesus had to deal with that. Peter is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter, God bless him, Peter had to wear mint-flavored sandals because he put his foot in his mouth all the time. I relate to Peter. I really, he and I cut from the same cloth, unfortunately, in that respect anyway. And Jesus had just finished telling the disciples, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And Peter looks around the room and he says, you know, I know some of these guys. They got some pretty shifty eyes. I can see them doing it. But not me, Lord. I'm going to be with you even to the end. Jesus says, Peter, you don't even know yourself. You're going to deny me three times. And you can see Peter just deciding, I'm not going to do that. And in Matthew 26, verse 50 says, Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. The man stepped forward, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions, it was Peter, reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Do you really think Jesus couldn't have protected himself? Was Peter just so crazed that he decided, you know what, I got to do this? And by the way, he wasn't trying to cut off, the guy he cut was named Malchus. He wasn't trying to cut off Malchus's ear. I firmly believe that. Because I said, hey, I cut your ear off. That'll serve you. Was Van Gogh the painter that cut his own ear off? No. He was trying to kill him. He was trying to get rid of Malchus. Now, was he trying to do it for the right reason? Yeah, he was trying to protect his Savior. But that's not what Jesus wanted. Okay. It's so important for us, though, to recognize that when there are times when for us to stand up, there are times for us to do what's right. And when we push it, like Ralphie, it all of a sudden blows up. Husbands and wives, you got to deal with things every day. It's not part of my notes, but it came to me right now. Husbands and wives, you got to learn to fight. But you got to do it right. Okay? You got to do it with respect. You got to do it with love. And if you're going to fight about burnt toast, but fight about burnt toast. Don't fight about burnt toast and bad oatmeal and blah, 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 blah. And eventually, well, you never loved me and your mom is horrible. Eh. Okay, no. We've all had that argument, haven't we? Where it starts at one place and goes all over the world. Yeah, not good. Not good at all. They did a study and they found out that men and women who abuse their spouses follow the same rules or same steps that child abusers do when they abuse children. First thing they do is they put distance between each other, physical distance between each other, because that breaks the bond of intimacy. Second thing they do is quit calling each other by name. In fact, if you ever watch one of these things where a kid has been kidnapped, they'll always call the child by name. Please bring Bobby home. We love Bobby. What they're trying to do is rehumanize that child in the kidnapper's mind. Because once the child is dehumanized, then they can move in and do whatever they want. So they found that husbands and wives that fight, they put physical distance between each other. Think about the last big fight you had with your spouse. You put physical distance, ended up on opposite sides of the room. My wife and I fought in the car one time on Highway 86, all the way to Indio. Very, very difficult. There's no room to go. You can't slam the door. I trust me, just listen to the radio. We're fighting about something stupid, too, like what the word often means. Very deep philosophical conversation. So here's what I do. When I do marriage counseling, I've actually done this. It's hilarious because I've had couples come in and you think that you need to frisk them because one of them's packing heat. It's really bad. So I made them sit knee to knee holding hands, facing each other. Now you can say whatever you want. Most times, within 5 minutes, they're laughing their heads off. Why? Because you can't get away from each other. You can't, there's no way to break that bond of intimacy. And looking at that person in the eyes, you can't say those horrible things now. And if you can, there's deeper issues. And I've seen it. The wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong method. And then finally this.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Well, that's life. Well, there's always next Christmas.
Yep.
Hey, that's funny. What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out? Come on. Santa Claus probably would. Do you not load it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Be careful. That's right. Careful. Don't they run all over. Close her up. Close it up.
Can I try?
I love that scene. You know the problem with that scene, though? A year from now, that gun's in the back of the closet somewhere. Or broken. This whole movie is about him getting that gun. And the next portion of that we never see is the fact that that gun is just another in the long list of things that he wanted, that he's ready to move on to something else now. In your life, how much have you put all your stock in, hoping that it would complete you, and then when you got it, realized, is this all there is? Isn't there something more? I've been telling you for the last little bit that for the last 2.5 years I've been going to school. I finished my bachelor's degree, I finished my master's degree, and I went into depression after I finished my master's. Because something should have felt different. The only thing that felt different was I didn't have more schoolwork to do, which was a good feeling, by the way. But I felt like I should feel different. I should feel smarter. I should feel something. And I really was depressed because I had this big thing and I built it all up. Oh, when I'm done with that, then, now what? Now what? See, and we all get to that now what point. The other thing that I love about that scene, though, is the dad. The kid got the gun, but the dad enjoyed that every bit as much as the kid. Oh, turn the, oh, it's going to run all over, you know? The father wanted so much for that kid to have what he wanted. That father wanted so much for that kid to have what would fulfill him. The tie is
kind of obvious. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I can imagine God sending his Son Jesus, knowing that that was going to have a tragic ending. But the joy on God's face as we unwrap the gift of Christmas. The joy on God's face when he realized that now Jerry Godsey had a Savior. Because he gave a gift, my life would be complete. And unlike the gift of a Red Ryder BB gun, this gift never loses its favor. This gift never goes bad. Remember reading the story of a man who his wife asked him to go to Christmas Eve service with him, and he was really anti-God, anti-church, and he ridiculed it. He said, why would God lower himself and become a human like us? It's such a ridiculous story. Well, the family had all gone to church. He's sitting there. The winds grew strong, and the snow turned into a blizzard. And just as he sat down to relax before the fire for the evening, he heard a loud thump. Something hitting against his window, then another thump. He looked outside, but he couldn't see anything. Finally, in the field near his house, he saw a flock of geese. They were apparently flying to look for a warmer area down south, but got caught in the snowstorm. The sun had become too blinding for them to go any further, and they were stuck on the ground. And the man thought to himself, my barn would be a perfect place for them. It's warm, it's safe, they could spend the night and wait out for the storm. So he walked over to the barn, and he opened the doors for him. He waited, watching them, hoping they would go into the barn. But they just fluttered around aimlessly in the field, and they didn't notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. He moved toward them, but they just ran away. Stupid birds, he thought to himself. So he went in the house, and he got some bread, and he laid a trail of breadcrumbs from the birds all the way down to the barn. They still wouldn't go in. Nothing he could do could get them to safety, could get them to shelter, could get them to warmth. Feeling totally frustrated, he yelled, why don't they follow me? Can't they see this is the only place that they can survive? How can I possibly get them into the one place to save them? And then he thought to himself, the only way for me to save them would be for me to become like those geese. If only I could become like one of them. If only I could think like they do, then I would save them. Then they would follow me and I'd lead them to safety. And it hit him. Before God sent Jesus to the earth, he said, if only I could be one of them, I could save them. And in that moment, he understood Christmas. In that moment, he understood why Jesus came. Jesus Christ, what we celebrate on Christmas, is God saying, I'm going to become one of you so I can guide you to safety. I'm going to become one of you because I love you that much.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.